Habakkuk, continuing in Habakkuk, those of you who know a little bit of history will remember about Winston Churchill. Now, Winston Churchill was the Prime Minister of Great Britain during the Second World War. He had a pretty checkered career up till that time as a politician, and those who like history, you can read he's a... he made some very major mistakes, including Gallipoli, by the way. But his speeches and his ability to communicate with the people during the war had an enormous effect on the people. His presence, British morale, you know, they speak about British morale during that time, when a time when London was being pretty much bombed into oblivion. But the morale of the people remained strong through all of that. And eventually, as we know, Britain and the Allies won, for which I'm very, very glad, since I was born and lived in London for the early part of my life during the Second World War. Now, that ages you. You don't do your mathematics, please. You don't need to. And I need to look at that one. So that was Winston Churchill. Now, you would think, wouldn't you, with that effect that he'd had on the people, that the people would be grateful, then his position as a Prime Minister would be secure for pretty much forever, wouldn't you? Well, in 1950, which is only a few years after the Second World War, he was voted out. They didn't want him anymore. He actually got back to be Prime Minister again later on, but they voted him out. And this whole issue of what is the issue of forgetfulness? How do we forget what the good things that have been done by somebody is very important to our understanding of Habakkuk this morning. Habakkuk speaks about remembering the deeds of God, remembering his goodness and his judgments. And as you look in the Bible, you realize that's a key to what's going on in the Bible there. The people didn't remember God's goodness. They very quickly strayed into idolatry, whatever else it was. They didn't remember. They didn't remember his goodness, and above all, they did not remember his judgments. So when the prophets, the major prophets that we've looked at, and the minor prophets came along and said, turn back to God, or God is going to turn away from you and his judgment again are going to come, it was pretty much, oh yeah. Yeah, tell us another one. We don't see it happening. We don't see it going to happen. So what Habakkuk is saying is remember. He has reached the stage now where he has to remember what God has done. Now, let's have a look at this issue a bit for ourselves. If I say to you, has God been good to you? Has God blessed you? And you say to me, hopefully you say, yes, he has. What are you saying? How has he blessed you? How has he been good to you? You see, well, generally we say, well, he's given me, particularly in Australia, a pretty reasonable standard of living, I suppose. He's given me moderately good health. He's given me a lovely family. He's given me a great church where I love the people and the people love me. All of those things, that's God's blessing. That's God's goodness to me. Am I right? Is that what's implied? That's the kind of thing that David wrote in Psalm 21. When he said, you have granted him his heart's desires. This is David. You have granted him his heart's desire. You have not withheld the requests of his lips. You came to greet him with rich blessings and placed a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked you for life and you gave it to him, length of days forever and ever. That's in Psalm 21. Now, I'll leave it for a moment that really that can only be fulfilled through Christ. We'll put that aside for a moment. This is David saying, God has blessed me, right? I have memory. I have remembered how God has blessed me as king. But hang on, there's more to Psalm 21 than that. He speaks about our enemies who plot against me and devise wicked schemes. God lays hold of those enemies. He seizes the foes. He swallows them up in his wrath, destroying their descendants from the earth. Now, hang on. That's the same God who's saying, oh, look how God's blessed me. We're talking about that same God who now pours out his great thunder of anger and wrath on people. Is that it? Is that the same God? Is that also God's blessing and God's goodness? You see, that's the question we've got to ask. Can we have one side of God without the other if we're thinking of his blessing and his goodness? Somebody has put it this way. Do you remember a while back when it was said, when we were all taught, if you want to evangelize the world, you've got to go out and tell all these people, Jesus loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life? Do you remember that? I haven't heard much of it lately. Well, somebody has said, well, maybe God may not have a wonderful plan for your life at all. Is that still God? Is that still God's blessing? You see, God's blessing and God's goodness and blessings have never failed, even though life might not work out with this wonderful plan idea. I think most of you at some stage or another have been through trauma, am I right? Bad things have happened, health things, family things, lost things, all those sort of things. Has God then, because those bad things have happened, has God ceased blessing? Has God ceased in his goodness? No. All of this is at the hand of God. Let's think of it another way. Let's think of our justification. Salvation, if you like, our relationship, the means of our relationship with God. When I talk about my relationship with God, having salvation, what sort of things come to mind that I talk about? Oh, I have forgiveness. That's a wonderful blessing. I am completely forgiven. God's mercy, God's poured out on his mercy on me. I don't get what I deserve. His love, well, that's a precious word. And we can study that one over and over again, this wonderful love of God. His grace, that's another precious word. Look, all of these things come together, the precious words that we've used and used and used, and we know they're at the forefront of our minds. This is God, his love, his grace, his goodness, his forgiveness. Yes, thank you, God, your grace and your goodness are there. We also know that we have the gift of eternal life. We also know that we have the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life, in our hearts. Wonderful, wonderful. Can your concept of your justification and your salvation also include judgment, wrath, rejection? Are they part of it as well? The Bible would say yes. The Bible would say most certainly yes. You see, judgment, wrath, rejection are all part of our salvation process. But the wonderful truth of it is that you and I don't have to face that because Jesus did it for us. God made him, that's Jesus Christ, who had no sin, to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. There's our Saviour, Jesus Christ. He took the full burden of God's judgment, wrath and anger on himself, on our behalf, as a substitute for us. But it is still part of our justification. You see, if it's all lovely, beautiful, it's all nice, it's full forgiveness and so on, what's the cross got to do with it? You can't have just one side on the other, that on the cross is God's anger and wrath and judgment being poured out on his son, not on you and me. So Habakkuk's gone through a process as I've been going through this series. Right at the beginning, he's saying, God, don't you care? Look at the injustice. Look at the terrible things that are happening around about. Don't you care? God's response was, yes, I care. I care very much. And for that reason, I'm going to judge my people by sending the Babylonians on them. Now, the Babylonians were a horrible force, horrible people. And Habakkuk is saying, yeah, but you can't do that. That's terrible. They're even worse than the worst things that the Israelites have ever done. Last week, we got to the next stage with Habakkuk's journey. He's saying, well, when's it going to happen? When will you pour out your judgment on your people? Today, what he's saying is, I need to ponder God's ways and to worship him even through the very things that he's terrified of. And he talks about that. The fear The terrible fear that he has is what's going to happen as God pours out his judgment. He's afraid. He's terrified of it. You and I would be too. I've used the illustration, if God's judged us by sending the armies of Russia or China on us as a nation, we'd be terrified too. And that's the way he felt. But he wants to ponder God's ways on what God is all about. So it's a matter of remembering. He says, Lord, I have heard your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. The scene is set. For this reason, what I'm going to do is, I could have just simply had three sermons. Chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. That's too boring, Leslie, sorry. I mean, the guy up the front here, just figure it out straight away. So what I've done is divide chapter 3 into two parts. This morning we're looking at verses 1 to 16 of chapter 3. Next week we'll look at the rest of the chapter, verse 16 again, 16 through to 19. And that is the most famous part of the book of Habakkuk, of the prophecy of Habakkuk. We'll be looking at that next week. So Habakkuk talks about it. God's glory covered the heavens. His praise filled the earth. His splendor was like the sunrise. Rays flashed from his hand where his power was hidden. Isn't that beautiful? What a wonderful picture he's got. But what he does is he juxtaposes that against the negatives. So he goes on to talk about. Plague, pestilence, the shaking of the earth, landslides, these were all part of the deal, by the way, floods and torrents followed. In wrath you strode through the earth, in anger you threshed the nations. This is the God that he's just been talking about. Let's put those two things together. That's what Habakkuk sees. That's what terrifies Habakkuk. Look, my problem with preparing this sermon was there's so much. Jan and I are going in our morning devotions, we're going through the Psalms. And just about every morning I thought, oh boy, that one would fit. Oh, that one would fit what I want to preach about. Oh, that one's terrific. Psalm 77, verse 1 to 2. Just a little bit, I don't want to bore the life out of you. Psalm 77, 1 to 2. I cried unto God with my voice, and he gave ear to me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. I sought the Lord in the night and stretched out untiring hands. My soul refused to be comforted. So what were the troubles all about? What was so great that he was unable to sleep? I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. We're on to verse 5 now. And so he asked, will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show us his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? Wow. That's heavy stuff, folks. Imagine if you or I had to get onto our knees or say our prayers at night saying, God, are you going to reject forever? Is your unfailing love gone? Is there no more love? Have you forgotten to be merciful? Have you withheld your compassion? Is this what's happening around about? How devastated would it be? Of course, we don't have to. We know that's not what we need to say because we have the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on at the end of Psalm 77, to this I will appeal. To this I will appeal. And I will remember the deeds of the Lord, your miracles of long ago. He answers himself, has God forgotten? Is he no longer interested in us? Hang on. I will remember. I will remember. I'll remember the deeds of the Lord, your miracles long ago. And the problem solved. So, poor old Habakkuk. He's facing this now. Yes, he's come a long stage from the original one when he said, don't you care, Lord? And then the other one, you can't do that. Now he's saying, now he realizes, he recognizes that this is coming. Historically, by the way, it was probably, I'm not sure whether Habakkuk died or whether at the end of his prophecy, historically it was almost immediately after Habakkuk's time that the Babylonian armies invaded. There was three wars in which Jerusalem was destroyed and the remnants of Israel was taken off into captivity in Babylon. Habakkuk said, "When I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice, rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he comes up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops." This will happen. This is inevitable. I think Jeremiah said a similar sort of thing. I always loved that. I remember giving a devotion at a ladies' guild kind of thing, you know, PWA sort of thing. And there's this classic part of Jeremiah where he's talking about the horror that he's seeing. And he says, my bowels. Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah, I thought I'd do that one. Modern versions say, oh anguish. That's just pathetic. That's not what he's saying at all. He's saying that his bowels have turned to water with fear, with horror of what's going to happen. And that's what Habakkuk is saying as well. But he remembers. But he remembers how God has happened. You look through the Bible and those three things, fear and faith and longing, are a theme that run right the way through. Fear of God. Fear that mankind deserves judgment, that we deserve judgment. Faith that he's a God of love, that he's a God of our ancestors. The Jews in particular were good at remembering his ancestors. The God of Jacob, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, that's who he is. Remember what he's done. Remember the good things that he's done, how we're his people, how he's incorporated as his people, how he's always remained faithful to him. Remember, that's faith. And then a longing for God to once again act decisively. That's why I chose Psalm 67. I'm not going to go through all right the way through it again. But Psalm 67, the beginning of Psalm 67, could almost be the Aaronic blessing. Remember the Aaronic blessing in the Bible? And he says, "May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine on us so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among the nations." That summarizes what Habakkuk is on. I'm terrified. My bowels have turned to water, but may God again shine his face upon us. May his ways be known on earth and salvation among the nations. So let's apply this. Is your understanding of God's blessing, our thankfulness, driven by your interpretation of circumstances? You see, here's the challenge to us. Do we define God by our circumstances? So we start with our circumstances. This is what is happening to me. Often these are the bad things that are happening to me. Therefore, God is, whatever, however you want to define God. Is that the way we do it? I think we do. And the number of times that over the ministry years I've come across people who've actually turned their back on the church and turned their back on God because said bad things happened, traumatic things happened. How could God do that to me? That's defining God. Defining God, you're the God who wouldn't do bad things to me. But that's not what the Bible teaches. God will do what God will do because God is entirely sovereign. But the opposite is true. You see, if we started our circumstances and define God, Habakkuk had to learn, and we must learn as well, that it's the opposite way around. We start with God. Who is God? What is he like? You can use all the big words if you like, omnipotent, omnipresent, all the other sort of things. He's a sovereign God. We start with God, and then we move to our circumstances. Our circumstances are defined by who God is. Exactly the opposite way. You see what I'm saying to you? Remember, here's the issue, folks. Here's what we learn. Remember what God has done. That's how you'll keep the faith. Remember what God has done. You can remember what God has done biblically. Study the Bible to your heart's content and see all the ways in which God has acted over the years, how he's remained faithful to his people in the Old Testament and so on. Remember biblically. Remember historically. If you know a little bit of history, you can look at history and you can see the way in which God has acted down through the centuries. I mean, somebody's quite adequate and quite validly said, history is actually his story. God has sovereignly acted right the way down through history. So we can remember God through history, but you can remember him personally too, can't you? If we go down for morning tea afterwards, we sit around and we want to start, you know, giving our war stories, the way in which God has happened, what God has done in our lives, the things that God has done in our lives, our memories, even the bad memories and the way in which they were resolved, remember. That's what Habakkuk had to do. Remember. It won't make our circumstances any easier to bear, but it will mean that they have sense. They make sense. Let's pray. Father, to study your word and to know of the God of judgment, of God of wrath, who poured it out on his Son. We know that doesn't insulate us from the problems of life, but it does insulate us from hell. Lord, we know that in Christ we have pure salvation. We are justified. On whatever may happen, it's at your hand. You are the God of grace. You are the God of love and of goodness. You are the sovereign God, and we bow before your sovereignty. And we say, in the years to come, whatever is your will for my life, your will be done. So that then I can look even back at the bad times and remember. Remember that how God's will was done. Lord, bless us, we pray. Help us to learn the lesson that it was so hard for Habakkuk to learn. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.